Broadcasting live from the K101 studios on East Electric Avenue in McAllister, it's time for the Savannah Coaches Corner with Savannah Bulldogs head football coach, Chad Stone. All brought to you by Tannehill Furniture and Mattress. Now, here's your host, Brandon Green.
Yes, 6:30 in the evening here on your Tuesday, September 23rd, and it's about time once again for the Savannah Coaches Corner with Savannah head coach Chad Stone. Again, since the last time we spoke, 2-0 for the Savannah Bulldogs. Again, the first time that we were tuning in here, we were 0-1, came away with a big win. We're going to talk about that here in just a second, promise you. I know a lot of people are wanting to hear about it. And then, of course, followed it up with another big win, but Coach Stone, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here, Brandon. Thank you so much.
All right, so again, we're going to start off with the elephant in the room. When it comes to first wins as head coaches of programs, it doesn't get more crazy than an 88-84 win over Wilson-Henry at a top-five team at the time. You got to break that game down for us. For anyone that wasn't able to go to it and just saw the scoreboard, what happened?
Well, so there's an old saying sometimes when, you know, games get crazy like that, that I went to a football game and a track meet broke out. And it kind of was that way. Of course, Wilson, and what's crazy about it is they had to play Ironman football. They only had 8 kids that were active on the roster.
No,
they played every snap offensively, defensively, special teams. So hat goes off to them. You know, they played very hard, never gave up, and everything. And, of course, they've got that semifinal pedigree from last year. They had 3 legs of their state finalist 4x1 track team that were out there, and so it really was a track meet for them. And so we just felt you know, that we, every time that they would land a punch, we came back and threw a little haymaker of our own, and it was very defining for our program, for our kids, because they don't have that semifinal pedigree or whatnot. And so you know, they're used to maybe rolling over a little bit at that point and whatnot. And the game was just nip and tuck the entire way. No one ever got over 10 points in the lead. And then as soon as someone would get up 10 points, the other team would roar back and score, get a stop and get another score, and they would be up 4. A whole bunch of lead changes. And so just went back and forth, back and forth. And I was exhausted by the time of it. And I would call play, and of course, you know, we would go for a touchdown or something like that. And I would be like, please, Lord, let us get a stop here. And they would come right back and get after it. And at the end of the game, they had the ball at our 20-yard line, throwing it into the end zone, trying to beat us 90-88.
Wow.
But it was extremely exciting. It was it took an emotional toll on and a physical toll on everyone involved, but just a huge victory for Savannah, for the Bulldogs, and hopefully it's going to be something that propels us to a special season.
And we were exhausted just keeping up with the score in the press box over in Ada. And if anyone listened to that postgame show, we kind of dogged Philip a little bit. Again, Philip is my color commentator for McAllister Buffalo football games, but he's also the brother of defensive coordinator Andrew Jewell over there at Savannah. And he mentioned after he said the score, and it was funny because he said after the score, 88-84, proud of my brother, defensive coordinator at Savannah. And we were joking with him. He said, hey, I would have left off the DC thing. But as we were laughing at that, he forgot to leave off that, you know, not all those points were on the defense. There were some special teams.
Sure, yeah.
Returns.
They had a return for a touchdown. As we were returning one of our kickoffs, they took it out of our returner's hands and returned it for a touchdown.
Wow.
And we had a pick six when we were fixing to go up by 2 scores at the beginning of the game in the first quarter, and they had a 99-yard pick six that tied the game at 14. Just a lot of crazy, and of course I'm a math guy, and so a lot of crazy statistics, a lot of records that were either set or school records that were set, and it was just pretty cool to be a part of it.
And again, you can give up a bunch of points, but if you can make that big stop at the end, that is what matters, and your defense was able to come up clutch with the other team on the 20-yard line. So, but you mentioned records in state history being made a lot as well. I think it was the 3rd highest scoring game in OK Prep's history. It was the most.
Weather Service in Tulsa has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for northeastern Haskell County in southeastern Oklahoma, southern Sequoia County in east central Oklahoma, northeastern LaFleur County in southeastern Oklahoma, until 7:15 p.m. Central Daylight Time. At 6:33 p.m. Central Daylight Time, a severe thunderstorm was located 6 miles southeast of Tama HA, moving east at 40 miles per hour. Expected hazards include 60 miles per hour wind gusts and half-dollar size hail. This is a radar-indicated threat. The following impacts are expected. Hail damage to vehicles is expected. Expect wind damage to roofs, siding, and trees. Locations in or near the path include Salisaw, Arcoma, Braden, Calington, Cota, Roland, Moffett, Cottonwood, Dora, Tama HA, Muldrow, Short, Gans, Spiro. This includes Interstate 40 in Oklahoma between mile markers 303 and 328. For your protection, move to an interior room on the lowest floor of a building. A tornado watch remains in effect until 10 p.m. Central Daylight Time for northwestern and west central Arkansas and southeastern and east central Oklahoma.
Film, they weren't extremely impressive. And so we were impressed with the fact that our kids, like I said, kept swinging back and found a way to get something done against a ranked opponent. And when you're building a program, when you're trying to get over the hump, there's several steps that you've got to go through. And the next step we felt in our evolution was that we needed to go down and dominate Thackerville. And we did right from the get-go. We told them all week it was a business trip and that we needed to go down there and take them by the nose and kick them in the butt, you know. And that's what happened. Aiden had another great game, and it was over at halftime. It's the first time that Savannah has ever mercy ruled anybody. Of course, they've only been in 8-man football. This is their second year, but mm-hmm. they've been on the other end of a couple of those, and they said that it felt a whole heck of a lot better to be on the winning side of that deal.
Sure did. Have an early night there. That's cool.
We were actually at Whataburger there in Ardmore by like 10 o'clock.
So, that's a good night there. Yeah. I like that. And so if you're looking at the last couple of weeks, what are some things that you want to build on or maybe improve upon as you're going into the next 7 games for the Savannah Bulldogs?
Well, I mean, obviously, when you give up 84 points, you can celebrate a lot. It was hilarious. We were probably the only 1-1 team in the nation that was averaging giving up 73 points a game.
It's the 1-1.
500 record.
Right.
You know? And so we were actually able, with the 58-12 win, to make it to where we've scored exactly 158 points, and we've had 158 points scored against us. So we've almost got that down under 50 mm-hmm. points a game. Of course, it's going to have to be better. And so what we do have is my son, Lance Stone, helps coach over there at Savannah with us. And so you can't ask for a better scout team quarterback or a better scout team look than you're going to get from Lance.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has been working with our defensive backs. He has been working. Of course, Coach Jewell and Coach Myrtle work with them as well, and I work more with the lines, but they've done a great job in getting our kids to understand coverage and to know our strengths and our weaknesses and to play towards our strengths and try not to put ourselves in a weak position. But we have grown exponentially as far as our play in the secondary, and we just hope to get better each and every game, and hopefully, like I said, it leads to something special.
And our last question before we take a break here, I hadn't got to mention that with you yet. How cool is it now to be able to be a fan of football with your son, then to be able to watch your son play, coach your son, and now coach with your son? How cool is that?
You know, at first I was really worried about it. And because as a coach, you hold your son to a higher standard than you do everybody else. And his entire life, of course, you know, you get the whole stigma that he is only playing because he's the coach's kid and everything like that. And so we've had some tumultuous times in the whole player-coach relationship. And so I wondered exactly how it was going to go. But he was sitting there in a junior high game last night, and I had just called a play, a quarterback trap, and he goes, "What'd you call?" I would have called quarterback trap. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I called. And he goes, "Really?
That's cool."
And so, you know, he's on the same page, and it's just been an absolute blessing and a blast.
That's awesome. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to be speaking on the upcoming matchup with Wetumpka coming to town. Say that three times fast. Again, this is the Savannah Coaches Corner with Chad Stone, brought to you by Tannehill Furniture and Mattress. We'll be back in 30 seconds here on K101.
Shopping for furniture should never be a hassle, and at Tannehill Furniture and Mattress, we agree. So we will continue to offer unmatched customer service, as we have for over 34 years. Stop by today and experience our store-wide savings. We offer 12 months interest-free financing or no credit needed. Tannehill Furniture and Mattress, 5 South 5th Street in McAllister.
We're back here on the Savannah Coaches Corner with Savannah head football coach Chad Stone. This is brought to you by Tannehill and Furniture and Mattress, as you just heard, as the Savannah Bulldogs are getting ready for a matchup with the Wetumpka Chieftains. That'll be at 7 p.m. this Friday, correct? I know that sometimes it changes with, you know, Thursdays and Fridays, but that'll be this Friday at 7 p.m. So, Coach?
It's actually this Thursday.
Oh, it is this Thursday.
It is actually this Thursday at 7 p.m.
Again, yeah, changes so much in, you know, schedules. You can never say...
Absolutely.
Friday Night Lights every week.
The thing about it is there's such a shortage of officials in the state that there's a lot of times we actually had, we've got homecoming next week.
Mm-hmm.
And our guy who schedules officials initially had that down as a Thursday game. And so as soon as I got the job, I started telling him, "Hey, we need a Friday game because that's when homecoming is going to be." And mm-hmm. he had to put out something statewide to all officials in order to get a crew for us for a Friday night.
Wow.
And luckily we got it, but yeah, that is a challenging deal.
Mm-hmm. And that's also a reminder, because again, sometimes I don't know if it's a Friday or Thursday, so I'm glad that I can go ahead and talk to you about that as well. That's a reminder for two things. One, if anyone wants to become a high school official, we are in desperate need. So,
amen.
Again, you can go to, I believe, OSSAA.com. That's one way you can go to it. NFHS is a good site to go to as well to be able to get in touch on how you can become a high school official for these kids. And also, high school officials, they do a thankless job, so make sure that you give them a little bit of grace sometimes here and there, and try to look at it from their shoes. I know it can be hard when you're coaching and also cheering on your boys, so we got to keep that in mind sometimes. But, Coach, as we get ready for Wetumpka, how's practice been this week?
It's been a pretty good week of practice, just trying not to fall into the trap that... you know, this is the best start that Savannah has had since 2017. So you're looking at 8 years.
Nice.
And so our kids, we don't want them to start thinking that, oh my gosh, we're 2-1, we're great, and, you know, everything like that. And although, you know, we've got the potential, like I say, I think to be special, we've got to show up with our lunch pail every day and go to work, and we've got to get better every single day. And so the kids have been committed to that. We've had a good, solid week of practice. Of course, it's a short week, and so really the hay's in the barn, so to speak, for this week. And we'll come out tomorrow. We will have an extended kind of run-through. We don't have walk-throughs. We have run-throughs with a little extra Team O and Team D, so that we just polish some things up because it's kind of a hybrid day since we play on a Thursday. But feeling pretty good about it. Just like I say, not wanting to let those kids fall into the trap of thinking that they're really good, because this Wetumpka team, they're 0-3.
Mm-hmm.
Last week they played Empire, which is a pretty good team, and they were throwing the ball to the end zone on the last play of the game to tie it up. They have started to kind of crescendo in the right direction. Of course, they got beat by Dewar 46-0 by half in the first game. And then they were down 30-0 against Davenport at halftime of the second game and came back to make that 52-30.
Mm-hmm.
And so then played Empire 36-28. And so they've got some big kids. They've got some fast kids. They've got some tough kids. I think they're pretty physical. And so they're going to be on a warpath, so to speak. They're going to be looking for their first win. And we're going to have to want it more than they do.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that there's a few guys on that Wetumpka team that's keeping you up at night right now. That could be pretty dangerous against you guys.
No doubt. Of course, in Class B football, you don't see this very often, but they've got two kids, 6'6" and 340 pounds, and he's a big, aggressive lineman. If he gets his hands on you, he's pancaking people right and left. I saw one play where he pancakes two folks. He's the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
Then they've got a tight end, defensive end kid that's pretty athletic, catches the ball well, and he's 6'5", 230. And then on top of all that, they've got a speedster out there at wide receiver that in the two games that we have him down for almost 300 yards receiving in the last two games, all on go routes. Mm-hmm. Where he's outrunning people. And so that's, of course, with us giving up some big plays in the passing game, that's something we've got to limit.
Mm-hmm. And so you kind of already mentioned the keys of the game for Thursday night against the Wetumpka Chieftains. Again, that'll be at 7 p.m. on Thursday for the Savannah Bulldogs, looking to go 3-1. But this isn't really, I guess, a key to the game, but it's a necessity for eight-man football. And I think that you've realized this as well now with the limited rosters that you have in the lower classes and also with it being eight-man football. Conditioning has got to be huge. What has the conditioning been like to be able to keep your guys in shape and to be able to have them go, as you mentioned, when it came to Wilson Henrietta, they had eight guys for that entire 172-point performance between the two teams. How important have you seen conditioning be at this level?
It was 216 plays as far as different plays as far as our that's what the huddle said when we were done with it. As far as our, there was 216 clips.
Wow.
And so it was a lot. Mm-hmm. And of course they were exhausted after that, but I kind of talked to the last time I was here about the fact that I didn't think that we were in very good shape when we played OBA. Mm-hmm. And that we needed to toughen up a little bit, and we went back to the basics, and we've been conditioning and everything like that, and the kids actually thanked me for all the extra conditioning that we had done during the bye week because they were able to make it through Wilson. And then, conditioning has just become part of it every single day. They're getting after it. They go and do some extra conditioning, several of them do. It's just a matter of staying healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then trying to get other kids to step up. We've got three or four freshmen that either start or play significant time. Just being able to spell those guys is huge.
All right. So with that, we'll take our final break here before we get ready for some five fun questions with head coach Chad Stone at the Savannah Bulldogs here on the Savannah Coaches Corner. That's brought to you by Taney Hill Furniture and Mattress.
Shopping for furniture should never be a hassle. And at Taney Hill Furniture and Mattress, we agree. So we will continue to offer unmatched customer service as we have for over 34 years. Stop by today and experience our store-wide savings. We offer 12 months interest-free financing or no credit needed. Taney Hill Furniture and Mattress, 5 South 5th Street in McAllister.
Into our final break of the second edition of the Savannah Coaches Corner here in 2025 with Savannah head coach Chad Stone of the Bulldog football team as they get ready for their Thursday night bout against the Wetumpka Chieftains back in Savannah at 7 p.m. Again, the show brought to you by Taney Hill Furniture and Mattress. So you had a big time duel again a couple of weeks ago against Wilson Henrietta. That was a Bulldog against a Tiger. But would you rather fight a silverback gorilla or a grizzly bear if you had to choose?
Neither of those are great options.
They're not great options at all.
I don't think that I can outrun either of them. I would go with a silverback gorilla.
Have you ever seen the movie Without a Paddle?
Yes.
You know where
yes,
I'm going with this, right? Yes, yes, so if you ever find yourself with anybody else, say, hey, I don't have to be faster than there. I just have to be faster than you.
That's right. Amen to that.
So there you go. The only thing that's making me pick a grizzly bear is that, and I'm not the Revenant, but it makes me feel like I can maybe survive that. But at that point, some people would just rather be dead if you're going to get torn up like that.
Right.
Again,
right.
The Revenant, if anyone hasn't seen it, it's Leo, his first Oscar that he got for getting mauled by a bear.
It is difficult to watch in certain parts of the movie, definitely.
So who do you think would win between a silverback gorilla and a grizzly bear?
Ooh, that's a good question, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're bringing the heat today, man.
Yeah, that's all I do.
I would go probably with the grizzly bear, which is why I picked the silverback gorilla.
Yeah. Well, it's the durability and it's the claws and everything else.
Right, right. Well, you know, I heard something one time that said that with just a swipe, you know, they can break your neck or whatnot. Now, when I was younger, I used to say, you know what, if you declawed a bear, I could take a bear. You know, no big deal. I didn't even think about their teeth or whatnot. Mm. Of course, you know, when you're young, you know, you're
invincible.
Yeah. Or a croc. I was like, you know what? I could take a croc. No big deal.
Steve Irwin can do
that's
it.
That's right. By crikey.
Colin, look at this monster. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my best Steve Irwin impression. It doesn't get any better than that. I mean, that is... Nature's metal. It is so metal. Going to our next one. No, I can't believe we didn't ask this last time. What is your favorite food?
Oh, well, you know what? I've got a lot of favorite foods. Gosh, it's so hard to pick just one. I have got a legendary sweet tooth.
Okay.
And so, like, anything sweet has to be near the top of the list, but... if I had to pick, it'd probably be like a steak or whatnot. Just a good between medium rare and medium a T-bone steak.
It's a nice pick. Now, what are your thoughts on steak sauce?
If it needs steak sauce, then someone has screwed up.
That's the thing I get a lot. See, my thing when it comes to steak sauce is that I just like the taste of steak sauce. That's just me. It's like if I get a burger and it's a really good burger, or if I get fries and it's a really good fries, it doesn't mean that I like the taste of the chicken or the fries or the burger less. It's just that I like this sauce a lot as well.
I get it.
I'm a fan of A1 steak sauce. It doesn't mean that, you know, the steak doesn't need it, but I like it.
It would absolutely offend my dad.
I know.
I mean, if you ask for A1 or Heinz 57 or something like that, but he makes the best steak that I've ever had. I would put him up against anybody.
Well, if Savannah goes on a run and we make it to deep in the playoffs, we need to get a couple of those steaks and we just need to have him right here on the show.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
I'm sure he'd do it.
That's awesome. All right, we always talk about big wins, but no one likes to relive big losses, but that's exactly what we're going to do today. What was the hardest loss you ever had to swallow as a coach or a fan? It could be either one.
Oh, wow. So I was a big Philadelphia Eagles fan when I was growing up, which was...
That's where we do differ, though, Coach.
Yeah, well, it's okay. Buddy Ryan, who was the head football coach of the Philadelphia Eagles at that time, is from my hometown, Frederick, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And so I actually got to meet him when he was the head coach of the Eagles.
That's cool.
I was already a fan when he was the defensive coordinator of the 46 defense for the Bears, and the 85 Bears, you know, Super Bowl.
The Bears.
Super Bowl shuffle and all that stuff. Jim McMahon and the boys. And so I can remember like being 11 or 12 years old and them getting beat in the playoffs and crying about it. But probably the toughest loss that I've ever had to deal with would be as a coach. I was at Crooked Oak, and the third week of the season, we played Chisholm, and neither one of us were ranked, and we had started off the season 1-1, I think, and so we're playing them, and it's kind of a back-and-forth game, And so I put my hands team in because they had just scored to tie it up with under 2 minutes left to go. And I thought, man, they're gonna try to kick it onside and go for the win here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're playing at our place. And they kick it deep. And, of course, my normal kick returner was up on the hands team. And so we had a less experienced person back deep.
Oh, wow.
And he didn't feel the ball. And it sat there at the 1 yard line, and he was just staring at it like, man, it was a punt. And so finally they come down and pick it up. And so they've got first and goal at the 1 yard line, minute and 15 seconds left to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hold them out on first down, and they jump off sides on second down.
Oh, man.
And on third down, they get the ball back to the 2 yard line. And they were out of timeouts and ran the football. And there was not enough time for them to be able to snap the ball. But my best player went down and tore his ACL.
Oh, my gosh. It gets worse.
And so, this is gut-wrenching stuff here. I feel gut-wrenching for you. This is Greek tragedy type stuff. Okay. So, it gets worse. So,
how could this get worse?
Because
we all know where it's going.
Right? So, anyway, we're out there tending to our guy, and it's fourth down and goal from the 2 yard line. They've got enough time now to, once we get our player off the field, to run up and snap the ball and run a play.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had a pretty talented quarterback, and they ran a quarterback sweep around the edge, and we hit him at the 1 yard line and turned him backwards.
Oh, no.
And he took the ball and tossed it up into the air, and one of his receivers was sitting there and caught the ball in the end zone.
Oh my gosh.
A completed pass, and they didn't have anyone downfield. And so they beat us 34-28 because it was tied at that point.
On
the last play of the game, and you lose your best player for the rest of the year in week three with the ACL, and it was that was probably.
I feel terrible for asking that question now. I have asked that question to other people, and they're like, "Oh yeah, like the state quarterfinals loss, or that one, or you know,
right?"
Because no, that one is the worst.
I just it just sticks out in my head. I've lost several games as a head coach, and I've put a folder together of bad ways to lose, and that one is at the front of the folder.
Oh man. Okay. Well, we can't end the show.
We gotta have something better than that.
What is the most okay? Yeah, we went to Thackerville last week. What is your most favorite road trip that you've ever taken as a coach, player, whatever?
So
Let's change this up.
This is wild. I told you that I'm originally from Southwest Oklahoma.
Okay.
In 1989, I was 12 years old, and my brother played for the Frederick Bombers in the southwest part of the state, and we played Guymon, Oklahoma, in the quarterfinals. And so the best trip I have ever had was my dad had driven back down, and the road trip was fantastic. We had this 3/4-ton conversion van that had a futon to lay down the back, and then we had seats everywhere, and so it
felt like a rock.
It was me and dad, and we had a couple of my buddies, and so just all the way up there, we were playing games and talking, having a good time. I do remember one time though, as we're heading up there, and of course Guymon's in the middle of nowhere, pressing the little seek button, and it rolled back around like 7 times without ever hitting a radio station.
The radio.
So just, back in the day, we had to listen to the radio.
Well, that's what we're on right now.
Absolutely.
So, I thought you were talking about the actual seat. I thought you were saying your seat was spinning around.
What in the vacation? The seek button.
Seek. I thought you said seat. That's where I was.
So we pressed the seek button on the radio, and it just kept rolling around and rolling around. It didn't pick up anything.
Wow.
7 or 8 times around.
Complete middle of nowhere.
Yeah. But had a great trip on the way up there, just I will always remember that.
Nice.
It took like 8 hours. But it was awesome.
Great trip there. So, Coach, I think that's about time for us. Our time is coming to an end here as we're about to approach 7 o'clock. But is there anything else that you'd like to add before we wrap it up and get ready for this Thursday against Wetumpka?
You know, I'm just really proud to be a part of Savannah, really proud to be a part of the community. I think that we're building something special there. Looking forward to those guys taking the next step, and love it. Go Bulldogs.
Go Bulldogs. There we are. Again, that is the Tannehill Furniture and Mattress Savannah Coach's Corner with Savannah head coach Chad Stone here. Again, they play this Thursday back at home. Make sure you come support the Savannah Bulldogs this Thursday at 7 p.m. when they take on the Wetumpka Chieftains in search of going 3-1. Again, we'll do this again next time. You are listening to K101.3 FM. Let's send you back to the music.
You've been listening to the Savannah Coach's Corner with head football coach of your Savannah Bulldogs, Chad Stone. This broadcast was all brought to you by Tannehill Furniture and Mattress. We now return you to regular scheduled programming.